At Bethlehem Church, we are committed to a vision of a thriving, growing community of followers making followers of Jesus. And here's how it happens. The church grows as you grow. As you grow, the church grows. So today we're celebrating two wins. One is baptism and the commitment by all of us to come alongside Eldon and his family to watch him and help him to grow in his faith in Jesus on this journey. The second win that we are celebrating is the halfway mark of our generosity campaign and being ahead of schedule in that part of it, which will extend our reach to build a growing community beyond who we are now. So it's exciting, I think, to be part of a building church. And I believe that was Jesus' intention when he commissioned his disciples to go and make followers and baptize and teach them things that we are doing. And he reminded them that they will experience his presence in their life, that he will be, as Katie has shared, in their hearts. So Jesus commissioned us to grow. In our egg communities, I think we understand what that means to grow. You know, it's expected. It's in a sense inevitable when you plant a seed. As long as the soil has moisture, as long as there's nutrients there, the conditions create an opportunity for growth. And that's what we want to do in the church. We want to create the opportunities that God has given us for spiritual growth. And we do that as God's word sprouts in our life and as those conditions permit us to grow. So we actually have a goal to all of this, and it's not to build buildings, it's not to have more people in worship attendance, although all those things I think are signs of growth, I think that's good. But the bigger purpose to the Christian life is, I think, what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4. He says, this is what we're growing toward. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Say that with me. Mature. Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, why do I invite you to say those words with me? Because it really centers our focus and thinking upon what it is that God has called us to do. We are to grow and become mature. Paul indicates that it is for all of us, with that goal of becoming like Jesus. And since you are the church as believers and followers, then as you grow, guess what? The church grows. So we're celebrating today spiritual growth, and we're seeing evidence of it in our second baptism in 2 weeks and the building expansion. But the real evidence is you. You are the evidence of God at work and growing his church. So here's the question. How are you growing? Or maybe, are you growing? If you haven't thought about it in a while, I invite you to consider and ponder that question. What's happening in your inner life? Are you experiencing personal spiritual growth? Because our goal as a church is that for you, for every one of us, to grow and become mature. So do you know what spiritual maturity looks like? The Apostle Paul writes again in Ephesians 3:17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, the goal, really, spiritual maturity is that Christ is dwelling in you, that you recognize that begins to form and transform your life into being more and more like Jesus himself, living a life as Jesus' teaching. And that goal is that you become fully aware and constantly conscious of God's presence and his leading and his guidance in every aspect of your life at every moment of the day. Now, how many of you by that description are mature? You know, I think, well, working on it, right? And that's the point. We're working on it. None of us is there yet. We're working on it. When you and I reach that level of maturity, Paul goes on to say, then you will no longer be infants tossed around by the world. In other words, you'll be full of God's love. You'll experience God's grace with yourself and others. You'll have hope in your life. You'll be full of joy and confidence as a Jesus follower. And the best part is that you will be living the fullest possible life that God has intended for you right now in this life and in the life to come. It's a beautiful promise. So when all that happens with all of us together, the church grows. So that sounds really great. I think we all have this innate desire to live that fullest life that God intends for each of us. But it's often hard to visualize what that is or maybe how that works. And maybe you're wondering, what does spiritual growth or maturity look like? And am I there? Am I spiritually mature? So we have to think of it as an ongoing process. It's a spiritual growth journey. And here's a definition of what it looks like to grow up spiritually. It's by pastor and author Tony Evans. So he says, spiritual maturity is the ability to consistently view and live life from the perspective of the Spirit rather than the flesh, with the result that we maximize our God-given capacity to bring Him glory. Now that is a great definition. If I could do that, I'd write a book. But I don't. So I need things a little more simple. My definition of spiritual maturity is this: learning to know and follow the Holy Spirit, not my own way, so that you can live your best life and God gets the credit, not you, not me. So another way to say it, maybe simpler, is spiritual growth is moving from self-centered living to Christ-centered living, to thinking about others and to thinking about Christ and His world rather than putting myself first. So however you define it, the result is a life-transforming intimacy with God. Really this knowing God and knowing God's presence in your life, in all of your life. It's friendship with Jesus, who said, "I call you friends." Have you ever been told to grow up? Probably so, right? Most of us probably have. I probably more recently than you. But I think, in a very encouraging way, it's what the Apostle Paul is telling the church in Ephesus. He said, you know, we know the world is full of spiritually immature Jesus followers, some by choice, maybe others by default, maybe others because they don't have access to a church or to teachers or mentors that help us grow together. But the church, by its nature, is a growing community. And so I invite you to turn to your neighbor and in a loving, kind way, the best you can, tell them it's time to grow up. All right? Turn to your neighbor. If you're online, go ahead and write that in the text. It's time to grow up. All right. I can see some of you having way too much fun with this. So how do we grow? How do we grow up? Well, we grow step by step, spiritually, step by step. So let's see how what we can learn from the Apostle Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So how do we grow? It seems like that it's a process where God is at work in us. So we go back to this kind of seed in the soil illustration. This spring, Cheryl and I planted in the community garden. And we had a whole bunch of sheep manure hauled in, and got the soil, was all tilled and fresh. We planted all the seeds, did everything right, but then it didn't rain for a while, so nothing germinated and things would hardly grow. So we replanted and we bought some seedlings and planted them where the other ones should have grown. And then something happened. All of a sudden it rained. If you remember that, this spring it rained. We were, And everything started sprouting. Everything started growing. And then all of a sudden, there was too much. And then it quit raining. So then what happened? Well, we had to keep watering, and we watered and watered. There was too much to water. We just couldn't keep up, and nothing was happening. And then, again, it rained a couple inches. And I have to tell you, there is nothing like a fresh, natural rain. It just does something to the soil and to the plants. It just makes them grow. And look what happened. You know, there's supposed to be walkways in there. So everything went crazy. I think the good news is that spiritual growth is like that. It is God that makes us grow. So he supplies the power that we need for this spiritual development. Paul describes it in verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, I think he's using a term to just describe all of God and God's presence and power, out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Say power.
Power.
With power through his Holy Spirit. So it's not our own power that makes us grow. I think that should be an encouragement to each one of us. We don't do it out of sheer willpower, that I'm just going to be the best Christian I can be, the best Jesus follower. That just doesn't work. It's God's power at work in us that makes us grow. And that power is more than enough to accomplish your growth. Earlier in his letter, in Ephesians 1, he prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is the Holy Spirit of revelation, of wisdom that guides and empowers you to know God more. And the implication is that the better that we know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the more we become aligned to grow. Isn't that right? Definitely. So spiritual maturity doesn't happen in an instant. It doesn't happen like that. Growing is a process, and you have to trust the process. I know some of you are in the beginning of the sports season for fall, and it is a grueling process for you with conditioning and training, and you're probably asking your coach, why are you doing this to me? Why do I have to go through all of this? I just want to play the game, right? And maybe we feel like that too, but you have to trust the process. Conditioning, it's part of that process in becoming a seasoned, mature player. And so it is with spiritual growth too. When you put your faith in Jesus as your forgiver and leader, you become born again. You become spiritually born. You have a new birth. You're like a little child, and you need to grow. The presence of God in you is that constant provision that allows you to grow, but you must exercise that provision. You must pay attention to it. So think about the garden again. I planted, nothing happened, and then the rains came, drenched the soil, and everything grows. But, you know, in that process, when it quit raining, I still had to water the garden over and over and over and over until it seemed like there was no end to watering the garden, and I just wanted to give up and quit and say, that's fine, we're done. But yet, as we waited, as we trusted, then the rains came. I was actually giving thanks for the rain that was about to come before it came. And they came, and then I think the Holy Spirit is like that rain. Through his Spirit, Paul writes, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. But we have to trust and follow the Spirit in our lives for the growth to take place. As Jesus keeps dwelling in you through the Spirit, he keeps guiding you and keeps growing you as you follow in obedience to him. So Pastor Tony Evans, he shares that spiritual growth comes in stages. So he describes them like physical stages of growth. And I think it's helpful to look at it this way. The journey to maturity includes being born, right? Spiritual birth, and then childhood, and then adolescence, and then comes adult maturity. So the Bible talks about examples of this as a tree rooted in the soil, talks about a building having a solid foundation. You know, that's what it builds upon, like that concrete foundation out there that we need to cheer about. Let's cheer again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I think we can do better, Jeremy. 1, 2, 3. Yes, it's on its way. So as we talk about this, we can hear in the apostles' words how this works. In Colossians 2, 6, and 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in love. So we have this spiritual birth by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual birth that comes through the Spirit. But it doesn't end there. That's the same Spirit that helps us grow and mature as we lean into him, into the Spirit. So it all begins in stage one with birth, when we become spiritual children. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be born again. You will have a new spiritual birth. And at Bethlehem, we are all about helping people experience that first stage into the life of spiritual growth, spiritual birth. At VBS this year, I think we had 7 kids that came to faith in Christ for the first time at VBS. That's huge. That's so important. And we also want them to grow as well. So we have Sunday school here. We have midweek Bible blast and Be Bold. Kids' messages here on Sunday, because you matter, kids. It's important that you know this life in Christ and that you grow in this life in Christ. And so, but it's not only kids that are spiritual children. Actually, youth and adults can experience new birth in Christ as well. And we don't go from spiritual birth to spiritual maturity in an instant, right? We have to be spiritual children. So some of you are maybe in that life stage right now. You're just starting out. Here's the thing. You don't want to remain a child. You want to grow. So we are beginning this fall what we're calling life groups for all ages and stages of spiritual growth. These are for adults to spend time, one, in God's Word to help us to grow. Number two, to build relationships and get to know one another, encourage and come alongside each other. And three, to learn to serve together as we develop our gifts and understand how God has helped us to grow and become part of the serving body of Christ. So if you, I want to encourage all of you to consider being part of a life group. Whether you have a busy schedule or not, you can sign up, you can participate and become part of this family. And those groups will figure themselves out, in a sense, around who's involved and how that will work for you. So online this week, you can go in, sign up at bethcov.org. You can also sign up your kids for all those other Sunday school and Be Bolds and midweeks. So stage two, that was stage one, being a spiritual child. Stage two is spiritual adolescence. And this is when you move out of that child stage. You're no longer completely dependent on the ministry of the church or your parents for all your spiritual needs. In other words, you begin to explore and grow and pray and dig into God's Word on your own as well and seek other avenues of spiritual growth. Maybe you've even found your place to serve and fit in Christ's mission. So you're maturing, but it's not complete. So what do you need to grow through this stage? In this stage, you need help and direction. You need a mentor in your life, someone to come alongside, a group to walk with, so that you continue to grow, especially, and here's key, especially when you are spiritually defeated. And as followers of Jesus, you will face trials, and sometimes you will fail. It's just inevitable. We do. And when that happens, you need someone to come alongside you and pick you up, help you to learn and grow through those experiences and become deeper in Christ. So stage two. This is this stage we think of usually as teenagers in the youth group. And for many of you, that's true. And if it is, then we invite you to plug in and be part. We have a church that is committed to your spiritual growth. We're adding on back here. We have a youth pastor and youth team that is committed to you, the church that is committed to you, events and things that you can do like Moose and Chick. So plug in and be part of that. But you may be a spiritual adolescent and not be a teenager. For some of you here, you're in that life stage. You're a spiritual teenager, and it feels awkward when you're asked to serve or participate or maybe teach or read. It's like, not me. I can't do that. Why not? Because I'm not spiritually developed enough. Well, the step is to continue to grow. If that's you, please hear me today. I need you to keep growing. If you're a spiritual adolescent, I need you to keep growing. The church needs you to keep growing. I know it's awkward, it feels weird, but that's okay. That's part of the life stage, and you'll grow through it. You need a mentor to walk with you, a life group to walk with you. Nobody wants to be an adolescent forever. I'm challenging you to keep growing to the next stage, which is spiritual maturity. So how do we get there? When a Russian comedian, Yakov Smirnov, immigrated to the United States, he said that the thing he loved most about America was the grocery stores. He said, "I'll never forget walking down the aisle and seeing powdered milk just add water and you get milk. And right next to it was powdered orange juice. Just add water and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, what a country. Wouldn't it be great if spiritual maturity was like that? Instant, but it's not. It takes time. It takes walking through it. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 6, he said, therefore, let us move beyond the elemental teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, to growth. So the fact that you're here tells me deep down that you have a desire to grow spiritually, that what you already recognize is the Spirit of God compelling you and drawing you to a deeper relationship and to belong to the family of God. You know, that's what we celebrate today in baptism, that belonging as part of God's family. And we start there by faith, but we want to keep growing and maturing as a member of His family into all the fullness and life that God has for us. And that desire to grow opens us up to cooperating with the power of the Holy Spirit that does the work. The apostle writes, according to His power that is at work within us. So the amazing part is that it is God's power that grows us. So what spiritual growth season are you in right now? And are you ready to grow up into the next stage? Are you ready to grow? We all know what it's like to still have growing to do, like Jean Olson, a mother of five from Illinois. She took her daughter out for a mother-daughter breakfast, age 9, during the meal. Jeannie courageously asked her daughter, how do you think I could be a better mom? And Kristen thought for a moment. She says, well, you do yell a lot. I know that you've been praying about that, but it isn't really working yet. In other words, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up, and it's time to grow deep. Depth is a way of describing spiritual maturity that the Apostle Paul writes, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide, say wide, and long, say long, and high, say high, and deep, say deep. How deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You know, there's an aspect of maturity in this walk with Jesus that's beyond knowledge. Paul says it surpasses it. But spiritual maturity is not without knowledge. We do need God's word. And so to grow, we need to get into the Bible. In her book, Amazing Grace, the writer Kathleen Norris, she shares that this story of her husband and she were visiting a man named Arlo. He was a rugged, self-made man with facing terminal cancer. During his visit, Arlo started talking about his grandfather, who was a sincere Christian. And the grandfather gave Arlo and his bride a present, an expensive Bible. It was leather-bound. It had gold lettering in it, their names printed on it. And Arlo left it in the box, never opened it. And for months afterward, his grandfather kept asking if he liked the Bible. And Arlo told Norris the wife had written a nice thank you, and we thanked him in person, but somehow he couldn't let it lie. He always asked about the Bible. And finally, Arlo grew curious enough to open the Bible. He said, the joke was on me. He said, I finally took the Bible out, and the closest out of the closet, and I found that granddad had placed a $20 bill at the beginning of the book, in the book of Genesis, and at the beginning of every book of the Bible all the way through. He said there was over $1,300. Today it'd be worth over $3,300 in the Bible that day. Take my picture. He said he knew I'd never find it. Now, if you go home and start reading through your Bible, you're probably not going to find money in it today. However, you will find this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Scripture says, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, that's you, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God uses His word through the Holy Spirit to grow and mature you into the next life stage. So one way that you can discover if you're maturing is this, when you can hear God speaking to you directly through His word, directly through the Scriptures. Not just as reading, but God speaking to your heart. So maturity includes deep understanding of Scripture, but more. He says how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's almost beyond measure. It's almost beyond something you can grasp with your mind, but you will know it if you know Christ dwelling in you. So the church needs you. I want to invite you to consider taking a step towards the life or the next life stage. And if you are in this season of maturity, recognize that it doesn't stop. If you are finding that you're not sure where to go, maybe the very place you need to go is to step into mentoring and leading and teaching someone else. That's where we need you as a church, to step up and step in to growing with someone else. So ask yourself, how can I grow deeper? Is it time for you to grow in Christ? So we're building a growing community. The Bible says, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. At Bethlehem, our vision is a vibrant, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. So the question is, even after breakfast, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? Growth depends on how hungry you are. How diligently you use your time to pursue God will determine how fast and how deep you grow spiritually. You can't go back, but you can begin right now. And He will lead you in becoming the fully mature person God called you to be. So the question being, as we conclude, where do you need to grow? Where do you need to grow deep? Because we all want a growing community of faith. And when you grow, the church grows. So let's grow. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for all the signs of a growing community of faith. And Lord, I thank you that you are calling each one of us to a deeper walk with you, whatever stage we are in, to go into that next stage. So give us the courage, Lord, to say yes to your leading. Your Spirit. Give us the wisdom and knowledge of your Spirit to know the steps to take. And Lord, send the people around us to do that. Lord, if we need to commit to a group, let us commit. If we need to commit to teaching someone, let us commit to that. If we need to commit to opening our Bible, may we commit to that. Lord, whatever that would be, may we commit to you as you grow us. In Jesus' name, amen.